A couple of months ago, the prospect of a comprehensive immigration reform bill passing in Congress had many immigrants feeling hopeful, especially the so-called Dreamers. These young undocumented immigrants, many of them students, arrived in the U.S. before the age of 16 and are now under 30. Their status might have been regularized by a new law. These young people have been at the forefront of the battle for immigration reform. On July 30th, 9 Dreamers who had left the country or were deported tried to enter illegally through the port of entry in Nogales, Arizona. One activist tells us her story.
My name is Lisbeth Mateo. I'm 29 years old. I am originally from Oaxaca, Mexico, but I was raised in Los Angeles. I am part of a group of Dreamers called the Dream Nine. We're a group of young people who had left the country voluntarily or who have been deported and then came back through the border in Nogales, Arizona.
Their plan, as crazy as it sounds, was to cross the border without papers, because they don't have any, and ask the authorities to let them in. The idea was to make a publicized statement about why someone who has grown up in the U.S. and has no criminal history shouldn't be allowed back in. In other words, they were asking for humanitarian parole. They are a mix of activists and students who have been talking about making a public statement of this kind for 3 years.
The day that we crossed the border, we woke up really early. I think it was like 4 or 5 a.m. We started calling our families and telling them, we're getting ready. We're going to be crossing pretty soon. They realized I was in tears and they said, why are you crying? Are you scared? Are you sad? And I said, no, I'm not scared. I'm like really happy because I'm coming home.
Most Dreamers have never been to their place of birth, in this case, Mexico. Since 2001, they've been holding on to the hope that a proposal, the Dream Act, introduced in the Senate, would make them legal U.S. residents. On this early July morning, 9 kids marched in Nogales, in the Mexican state of Sonora, toward the port of entry in Arizona, dressed in high school graduation robes.
So we all linked arms, wearing our caps and gowns. We walked around, and the community joined us. They were chanting, and we were chanting, and it was really overwhelming. And finally, we got to the port of entry, and there were so many people on both sides of the border, and they were saying, bring them home, bring them home. I wasn't expecting that. So the plan was for 3 of us to go back to Mexico and reunite with 6 other Dreamers who had been living in Mexico for some of them a year, some of them 2, some of them 7 or 8 years already, some who were deported and some who left the country for different reasons and then realized that they just didn't fit in Mexico and they were just, you know, really wanted to come home to be safe with their families in the U.S.
By crossing the border back into the U.S., even without papers, they wanted to send a message that it's time for comprehensive immigration reform, that kids like them, who speak English and consider themselves American, who are going to school and are building their lives in the U.S., should have the documents to prove that they can stay here too.
We just stood in line waiting for a turn to be called by a Border Patrol officer. One by one was called and we're all asked what kind of paperwork do you have. The only thing that I remember I presented was my Mexican passport and a letter asking President Obama to grant us humanitarian parole. And the Border Patrol officer asked me if I had anything else, visa, if I had a green card. And I said, no, this is all I have. Then I was handcuffed and put in a car with the rest of the Dreamers.
Their plan was working, but even though Lisbeth has been an outspoken activist for almost a decade, she wasn't really raised to challenge authority.
I remember the first time that we talked about my legal status, Mom, and I remember the things that you said. Do you remember?
I told you, you can't tell anyone that you are undocumented, that you don't have papers. If they ask you that question, just walk away without saying a word.
And what was that, Mom? Were you scared?
I was scared of losing you to deportation. Scared you would get in trouble, that you would get deported.
When we were finally detained and put in the car, we were really excited. We were really happy. I think at some point we fear that the Border Patrol was just going to say, sorry, no, you're not going to enter. We're not going to detain you. Turn around and go home. As in, like, go back to Mexico. And so once we were detained, we're like, okay, so this is a victory.
As strange as this sounds, getting detained was the first step to get them where they wanted to be.
We wanted to get into the U.S. somehow, even if that meant handcuffed in a car, in a detention center. We were at least closer to home. That's how we felt.
This sounds insane. And I mentioned this to Eileen Truax. She's a Mexican journalist based in L.A. and the author of Dreamers, The Struggle of a Generation for an American Dream.
Of course, it sounds insane. Of course. The fact that someone would just go straight to the immigration agent saying we don't have documents, but we feel that we are Americans, we want to stay in the country. I think the symbolism is very strong, not only for the U.S., but for Mexico too. They're not trying to cross when nobody sees, in the dark, in the trunk of a car. They're walking in daylight, wearing very proudly this outfit, saying, we do not belong here, we are not safe here, there's no way for us to pursue our dreams here. We want to pursue our dreams in the U.S. because that's our country.
Lizbeth was taken to a detention center in Eloy, Arizona. If she was to be deported, her plan was to apply for asylum, the claim that her life would be in danger by staying in Mexico. But proving asylum is extremely hard for Mexican nationals. She would have to prove that she was persecuted by the government based on her race, religion, or political opinion. It's hard to tell if she can make that case. Her first day of school at Santa Clara Law School in San Jose, California, was just 3 weeks away. She had no access to a phone. She was hundreds of miles away from her home in Los Angeles and had no idea about the timing or conditions of her release.
But the part that worried me the most was, how's the community going to react? Are they going to be like, okay, we have to support these dreamers? Or are they going to say, well, they got themselves into this, so why should we work now to get them out?
17 days later, they left the Eloy Detention Center in Arizona. But not everyone was cheering for the Dream 9.
Okay, so my name is David Leopold. I'm a practicing immigration attorney.
He's represented dreamers, undocumented immigrants brought to the U.S. by their parents as children. I asked him what he thought of the Dream 9 and their strategy.
A strategy for what? Honestly, to go down to Nogales, Mexico, and to call the cameras and to come back in wearing graduation. I mean, I don't know what the specific goal is. If it's to highlight that 1.7 million people have been deported under the president, we know that. President Obama knows that. It's a tragedy that people have been deported, but let's work on a bill that makes it possible for some of the wrongful deportations to possibly be resolved in a better way. I think that's what's going to get us to the finish line. Playing with the border is not, and it's actually very dangerous because it suggests to other undocumented youth that crossing this border is so simple, and it's not.
But Eileen Truax sees it in the context of U.S. history.
I think the strategy is based in the story of the U.S., which is a story of civil disobedience and civil rights movements. Once you see that something is not working through the regular or the traditional way, you have to escalate and look for a different way to make your voice be heard. So this is the way they found. And you can agree with that or not, but they have been successful. They got to have 9 people who were undocumented outside of the country with documents inside of the country in 3 weeks. And that's something that no lawyer and no activist group has done before in the U.S. They looked for it and they were successful.
For KCRW, this is Ana Yancy Diaz-Cortez.